that the reason that wives and husbands and children do not receive the Word of God, the gospel of Jesus Christ, is because the God of this world hath blinded their eyes. Now, that's not just what I believe. That is what the Bible says. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 4, it says, the God of this world hath blinded their eyes. I believe, then, that the problems that we face are because Satan has blinded the eyes of people. Do you believe that? And that if we can be used of God and unite with Him and ally with Him, then God can bring the scales off of anyone's eyes. If He can bring it off the Apostle Paul's eyes, then He can bring it off of anyone's eyes. And that's what we need to understand, that what's going on in the earth today, though we see something, though we are aware and watching one thing, that does not necessarily mean that's what's happening. For example, I know people that seem to be in the will of God, that seem to be in what you can perceive and what you can see in the natural, that their lives are together and that they're walking with Jesus Christ, but only to find out as you learn this person and as you discern this person, that this person has serious problems. I've also seen others that seem to have scales over their eyes and are very difficult to reach and to receive. I find that they are very open to the things of Jesus Christ. So what always we are seeing and visualizing in the natural is not always what's happening in someone's life. Do you understand what I'm saying? Do you agree with that? That there are people that need the ministry of Jesus Christ, and sometimes it are those that seem to be willing to receive it, and sometimes it are those that are seeming not willingly to receive it, but sometimes those that seemingly are not willing to receive it are those that are sometimes more willing to receive it. Is that right? Joshua chapter 5, what has happened here is that the nation has crossed through the Jordan River. They have put their memorial stones in the Jordan. They have also placed them at Gilgal. They have gone and the Lord has had them circumcised and had the Passover with them. And I believe all of these are very important in understanding. And I'm not going to take time, but I believe they're important in warfare, that you go through these things. First of all, I think there must be a cutting off of the past life. There's a memorial. You won't forget it, and you learn from those things, but you don't go back to them. And as they crossed that Jordan, as they put those memorial stones out in the center of that river, and as they crossed over, as the last person crossed, then God released that river, and it shut off that past life to them. And when you come into Jesus Christ, it says, behold, all things become new. I believe to come into warfare, to come into the land of Canaan, where we're going to fight and win, I believe that you've got to come to the place in life where you cut off those things in the past. You've got to understand now that God has cut that off, and now it's time to go on into warfare. Now, He had them circumcised, and in Colossians chapter 2, verse 11 and 12, He says that circumcision or water baptism is circumcision. There's a circumcision of the heart that has to happen. It's a cutting away of the old life. It's a cutting away and a coming forth into Jesus Christ. And I believe that's what has to happen in a person that's going to go on in God in war. There has to be a cutting away of the old life. And then there has to be the Passover aspect of it. We have to have Passover, which is, as I said earlier, it is a coming and a having a relationship with Jesus Christ. You can't go to war without the blood, folks. I mean, it's just, you can forget it. Unless we're able to draw nigh unto God, we can resist all we want to. But the Bible still says that if the devil's messing with you, if you will resist him and draw nigh unto God, then he will flee. Just resisting the devil won't do it unless you're drawing nigh to God, unless you're having a relationship and a communion with him. So all of these things are important. But as I was reading this week, and at the point that the Lord has me right now in my walk with him in warfare, and trying to learn and study and get understanding and revelation about these things, I was reading in this chapter, in chapter 5 this week. And I want to read a beginning at verse 13. And I want to talk about this. And I want to share with you what God has instructed me to share and speak with you this week about. Verse 13. Now it came about when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, a man was standing opposite to him with his sword drawn in his hand. Now, what would that speak to you? Word of God, but it's time to war. It's out of the sheath now. It's ready to go to action. His sword was drawn in his hand. And Joshua went to him and said to him, are you for us or for our adversaries? And he, the man, said, "No. Rather, I indeed come now as captain of the host of the Lord." And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and bowed down and said to him, "What has my Lord to say to his servant?" And the captain of the Lord's host said to Joshua, "Remove your sandals from your feet, for the place where you are standing is holy." And Joshua did so. Now let me try to paint the picture for you. They've crossed the Jordan. It's time now to go to war. And the next procedure would be to take Jericho. It is a walled city, huge walls. And Joshua's out sort of scouting the land. And the way that I really see him is that it sounds here like he's by himself. And he's out and he's walking across the land. And he's looking at it and he's trying to figure out how many battering rams he's going to need, how many catapults, how many ropes, how many ladders it's going to take him to be able to get over this barrier, this thing that's setting. And they've got to take Jericho. They can't just leave it because the women and the children are going to stay there at Gilgal and the warriors are going to go and take the land. So they've got to take Jericho and they've got to take Ai. And so Joshua's out looking and he's walking around and all of a sudden here appears this man with a sword drawn and he says, "Whoa, are you for us? Are you against us?" And the Lord, and this man says, "Neither." Now, I've preached this to you before, but understand that, listen, here I am. I have been, I'm back here. I'm here now. Okay. I'm Delbert now. I'm not over there with Joshua. And I'm wanting to put this into perspective. I have been here in Lafayette for 7 years, and I've walked around, and I'm looking, and I'm saying, "Lord, how do we do it? How many battering rams do we need? How many ladders is it going to take? How many catapults? How many moving towers will we need to take this city? What, Lord, will I need to do it?" And I'm walking around, and I'm trying to survey the situation. And I've done this for 7 years. And it's time that the Lord appears to me, and what I would do is just what Joshua did. If I saw him, I'd say, "Are you for me or are you against me?" And what would he say? "No, I'm the Lord of hosts. If you know what's good for you, Delbert, you better ally with me. If you know what you need to do, you better get with me, not worry about me getting with you. You see, what I've tried to do for 7 years, what we've tried to do, and as far as I know, what everybody tries to do, is we try to get a plan up and get God to bless it. We want Him to ally with us. When in reality, what we've got to do is find out what He wants to do and ally with Him. Am I right? And it's time that we learn that if we'll ally with God, then He'll give us the city. Now listen, what He told Joshua was absolutely crazy. Unrational. It did not compute. So Joshua, here's what you're going to do, bud. You're going to go out there. I want you to take your warriors, walk around this city. Behind the warriors, I want priests to walk with horns. I want them to be blowing these horns. And I want the Ark of the Covenant behind the priest. And then behind the priest, I want the rear guard. And I want you to walk around this city one time a day for 6 days, seven times the seventh day. And then I want you to stop and shout. And when you shout, the walls are going to fall down flat. Now, does that make sense to you? It doesn't make a bit of sense to me. And I would imagine Joshua probably had a little trouble trying to convince his people that he really heard God. Think about it. I don't make any sense. But what they had to lose, I mean, they couldn't. What are they going to do anyway, you know? I mean, they had to, it was going to take them a while to siege this city. They had never fought against a city that was set for siege like this. Now, let me ask you something. Was it the shout? If we started down here at Tryon and we walked all the way for 6 days, and if we could, and we couldn't, but if we could, and we walked around it, and we the seventh day we walked around it seven times, and then we shouted, would that do any good? Come on now, I mean, really, would it? You can shout your brains out. It ain't gonna do a bit of good. Now, if God told you to do it, what I'm wanting to point out here is this city failed without Joshua touching that wall. But it wasn't the shout that did it. It wasn't the obedience that did it. I mean, it was the obedience. Of course, he did what God said to do. But what I want us to hear today, it was the Lord of hosts that did it. Can you hear this? And you can shout till your brain rattles, until you have no voice. But if the Spirit of God ain't there, if the Lord of hosts isn't there, forget it. See, this city fell without Joshua touching that wall because of the angels of God, because of the host of the Lord. And what God has told me to share with us today, what the Lord, the Spirit of God, has ministered to me this week and told me and instructed me to share with you this day, is that we have got to have an understanding that we must, if we're ever going to affect this city, we must learn to ally with the angels of God and come against the powers and principalities. That until we learn to do that, we can shout, preach, talk, sing, dance, clap, anything we want to. But ain't nothing going to happen until we learn to ally with the Lord of hosts. Now, we've tried everything else. It's time to try to ally with the Lord of hosts. You believe that? Now, let's look at this. I want to talk to you today about the Lord of hosts. I want to talk to you today about... Will somebody pull this down for me? I got some overheads I want to look at. I want to talk to you today about... The Lord told me this week, He said, study the Lord of hosts. I'll be studying the Word, I'll be reading the Scriptures, and all of a sudden something will jump out and the Lord will say, study this. And you see, what I've always learned is when He instructs me to study the Word of God, what it really means is that I really don't know anything about it. When I hear the Spirit of God saying, you need to study this, that really means that what I know, I don't know. So the Lord spoke to me this week and He said, study the host. Study the Lord of hosts. Look with me in the book of Genesis. And I want to just start looking at some scriptures and turn to a few, and I'm going to show you a whole bunch on the overheads. But in Genesis chapter 32, I want to look at this thing. What is the host? What is the Lord of hosts? And I want us to get a revelation. I want you to open up. I want you to hear that this is a massive, massive doctrine in the Scriptures that we know very little, if anything, about. It is a huge teaching that the Scriptures teach us, but we know very little. Do you know that most Christians don't even believe in angels? I mean, though they say they do, but they really don't. Come on. They don't believe in demons either. Jesus did. Paul did. I do. And here, we've got to understand that what we're seeing in the natural, that there's something behind it in the spiritual that's really causing it to work. That in the natural, Paul says that you're not wrestling with flesh and blood, but with what? Principal powers. Something behind it that's causing this thing to work. And for the army of God to work, we have got to understand that it's not us that's doing it. The battle's not ours, but the battle is the Lord, and behind us there is another force, much powerful, much bigger, much larger than our force, that's going to carry it through. In Genesis 32 and 1, now what's happening here is that Jacob is coming out from Laban's house, and he and Laban's had this ongoing little thing. It's his father-in-law. Didn't get along very well. Laban changed his wages 10 times, and Jacob did this thing with the sheep and the goats and the scrape and the speckled and the spotted and all this stuff. But anyway, he comes out. And in 32 and 1 of Genesis, and Jacob went on his way, and the angels of God met him. Who met him? Angels of God. And when Jacob saw them, he said, this is God's host. And he called the name of the place Mahanaim or something another. Mahanaim. Now, what I want us to see here is that the host that the Bible speaks of are angels. Is that what your Bible says? What does it say? The camp of God. The camp of God is what? What? Angels. What does verse 1 say? Jacob saw what? Angels. And then he says, and if you've got another translation, in a King James Bible says this is the Lord's host. Now, I'm going to talk about this. What I want us to see is that the host of God, the camp of God, the army of God is angels. Now let's look at some things. And what my point is today is that we have got to realize that we have got to ally up with the Lord of hosts. We have got to ally up with, not expect them to ally up with us, but ally up with them and expect them then to fight with us and us to fight with them. But we have got to fall on our knees. And one thing I do want to point out before I leave this point is that our church is coming to a new dimension of praise and worship. We have come into a place, and notice there what Joshua did when Joshua fell on his face and worshiped God. I don't believe you're going to go to war unless you're ready to worship God. I believe that's got something to do with going in with the Lord of hosts. Without worship, without proper worship, and some of you have a tremendous problem with falling on your face before God. You really need to defeat that. You need to come to the place where you're ready, willing, and able to worship Him and praise Him. fall on our face before Him. Now, I got a pretty red one today, and it's simply because all the other ones are gone. All the clear ones. I hope you can see that. The host. Do we need to turn any lights up here? Would that help? I don't know. Can you see okay back there? Okay. Host. Now, from Genesis to Malachi, from the Genesis 1 to Malachi 4:6, there is occurrences of this word host. It is found in the Old Testament 481 times. That is more than the word kingdom is used, more than the word church is found in the Scriptures. This is a massive, massive doctrine of the Scriptures that we know very, very little about. 481 times that the Bible speaks about the host of God. 100 times it's translated host. 8 times it's translated army, armies, hosts, plural, war, service, waiting, battle, warfare, soldiers, point in time, company. And all this comes together for 481 times that the Bible talks about the host of God. The host. It is a massive teaching in the Scriptures that we know very, very little about. Now, how many are in the host of God? How many angels are there? Well, Revelation 5:11 says, "And I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beast, and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands." Now, what I did is I multiplied 10,000 times 10,000 times 10,000 times 10,000. That equals 1 trillion angels that are just right there at the throne of God, worshiping God with a loud voice. 1 trillion angels. I went down last night. I got out the world books. We've got 5 billion people in the earth. Now, I don't know. I had 15 zeros and 9 zeros, and I'm trying to divide all this out. But I think that each one of us has 3 angels. At least 3 angels. That's a lot of angels, folks. 300 angels. Hey! That's better. I told you, man. I had all these zeros. I said, "Lord, I don't know how to do this." But what my point is that there's a lot of angels. Now, in the book of Hebrews 12:22, it says, "But ye are come, not to Sinai, but where? You've come to Zion, and unto the Mount Zion, and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and unto how many angels?" Can't count them. An innumerable company of angels. What I'm wanting to point out to you is there is a host of God waiting for the church to do something to ally with it so that it can go on the attack. They are there. The Bible says they are there. How many of you have come to Zion? You're not going to go. The Bible reads, you can read it. You have come. You're up there. You've come to the church. We've got angels. All of you want. Now, Jesus believed in angels. Therefore, I believe in angels. Jesus believed in demons. How many of you believe in demons? You really do? You better. Okay. Luke 12:2-13 says, "And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts," doing what? "Praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill to men. And it came to pass as the angels were gone." So what is the host? Angels. As the host was gone, and away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, so forth. Matthew 26:53. Who is the Lord of hosts? Jesus said at Gethsemane, he says, "Don't you think," there it is, "don't you think that I could call at least 12 legions of angels?" Now, if he can call them, how many believe that might mean that he's the Lord over them? What we're found here in Joshua is what is called a Christophany. It's the appearance of Jesus Christ in the Old Testament. He comes. He is the Lord of hosts. And listen, folks, he doesn't ally with us. We ally with him. And he's got all we need to go and do what he's called us to do. This is why the gates of hell cannot prevail. As long as we're attacking it in our own strength, folks, we can forget it. We can shout at it. We can blow trumpets at it. We can make us an ark and walk around it. But until the Spirit of God and we learn that we've got to ally with the angels of God, we can forget ever overcoming this city. We have got to understand this thing is spiritual. The battle is the Lord of hosts. Don't you know he says he'll send 12 legions of angels. Send his angels with a great sound of trumpet, and they shall gather together and elect from the four. Okay, that's Jesus. All right, now the prophets, I want us to understand that the prophets of God had a tremendous revelation of this Lord of hosts thing. And it's like us, you know, you meet some Christians and they really believe in angels and some don't. And as you study, you find out that some believe in them and some don't. Willis, we're messing up on. Some believe in them and some don't. Am I still cooking? Now, and what as I was studying this, I found out that the prophets had a tremendous revelation about the Lord of hosts. I want to show you this, and I want to project to you why this was so important. Daniel says, when we read in Daniel chapter 10, he says, the angel has come in response to your what? Words. You need to know that. You see, angels respond to our words, Daniel chapter 10. Now, the prophets, what did they do? They spoke words. And the prophets understood that it was the angels that was going to fulfill this word. That the angels were going to go forth. This is why, folks, you've got to understand that Jesus says, if you'll confess me before men, then I'll confess you before my Father and the holy angels. You've got to understand that by your words you're justified. By your words, condemned. You're activating angels. I think I told you this. I had taken my car down to place down here to get it worked on. The guy was up under my car and the radio was playing. And the song that was playing was a country song. The name of the song was I Like My Women Just a Little on the Trashy Side. And this idiot was singing that. He was under there telling me, I like my women just a little on the trashy side. I was thinking, you idiot. That's what you gonna get? Man, the prophets understood this. Now, I'm just excerpting here because I've got so much I could share about this and I've got more to say than your bottoms can endure. So what I'm trying to do here is just exert enough to whet your appetite so that as we understand warfare, that we'll understand that angels have to go with us. Okay? Now Samuel understood this and this was where he told him to go get Amalekite and Agag and all these guys and chop them up and all this stuff. But in 1 Samuel 15:2 he says, thus says the Lord of hosts. Thus says the Lord of hosts, I remember that which Amalek did to Israel, how he laid wait for him in the way when he camped up from Egypt, when he came up from Egypt. Now go and smite Amalek and utterly destroy all that they have and spare them not, but slay both man and woman, infant and suckling, and the sheep and the camel and the ass and do it to them. Now who is he prophesying through the name of? The Lord of hosts. You have to understand that this is the Lord of the armies of God. This is the Lord of the angels of God. This is the Lord of... We're going to war, and we've got to have the Lord of hosts with us. And so what Samuel is saying to Saul, Saul, now go with the Lord of hosts and hack up Agag. Kill the Amaleks. Now, what we have got to come into the understanding of, folks, is God has told us to go to war. But He's not going to bless what we just go to war with. We've got to submit to Him. We've got to fall on our face to Him. We have got to ally with Him. And then He'll go to war with us. You understand what I'm trying to say? We have got to submit and ally to Him. We've got to have the angels of God going with us. I'm going to run through some thoughts here that I just want to project. Elijah knew about the Lord of hosts. Elijah, now this is Mount Carmel. Everybody remembers Mount Carmel, right? Prophets of Baal and Astarte. Prophets of Baal. This was from the Lord of hosts. The Lord of hosts, when Elijah called down fire from heaven, when Elijah burned them up, it was from the Lord of hosts. And Elijah said, as the Lord of hosts liveth, before whom I stand, I will surely show myself unto him today. Talking about Ahab. And then down in verse 19, now therefore send and gather to me all of Israel into Mount Carmel, and the prophets of Baal, 450, and the prophets of the groves, or Astarte, 400, which eat at Jezebel's table. Now understand that it was the Lord of hosts that ministered through Elijah to get Jezebel down and get Ahab down and get these false prophets down. This is warfare. We have got to understand that there is a spirit of false religion in our area. How many believes that there's really witchcraft going on right here, right now, in our area? Do you believe it? Well, it's going to take the Lord of hosts. And we've got to understand that there is a Lord of hosts that we have got to fall on our face, worship, and ally with if we're ever going to do any good in this area. We've got to come into an understanding of the Lord of hosts. Elijah's counterpart, or Elijah's servant, Elisha knew about the Lord of hosts. And this is when I think it was Syria that was encamped around the city. It says, "And when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, a host compassed the city both with horses and chariots. And the servant said unto him, Alas, my master, how shall we do? And he answered, Fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he can see. And the Lord opened his eyes, and the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountains was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha." What we've got to understand, folks, is that whether you can see them or not, they are there. There are demons, and there are the spirits of the living God, the angels of God that want to war with us, but they are activated by our words, they are activated by our beings, they are activated by our service and by our obedience, and we have got to understand, Lord, people, that it's time to go and get them. It's time to bring them down. And they are out there. But understand that the Lord of hosts is more than they. And when our eyes are open, we begin to understand this. Now, again, this is just excerpts, and I can't, 481 times, there's no way. But understand that Isaiah had a revelation of the Lord of hosts. Now, in the 66 books of Isaiah, right, he used this term, host, 68 times. And Isaiah was a fantastic prophet, a massive prophet. He's the one that prophesied a virgin shall conceive. And 700 years later, it happened. Who carried those words 700 years? Angels of God, activated by His words. The angels of God, the prophets of God, knew the power of the angels of God and the Lord of hosts. And Isaiah prophesied about by the word, by the name of the Lord of hosts. And I wish I could just stop and go through all these. We can't do it. Jeremiah had a revelation. Jeremiah's book was 52 chapters long, and he used it 88 times, the word host. Another mighty prophet of God, Haggai. Haggai's book was only 2 chapters long, but he used the Lord of hosts 14 times. Zechariah's book is 14 chapters long. He used it 53 times. The prophets of God, the people of God, understood the power and the necessity of understanding the Lord of hosts. And what I'm wanting us to do today, what I'm wanting here, and I'm hearing God say to us today, is that we, this church, this body, has got to come into a revelation that there are angels that want to go to war with us. But what we've got to do is stop asking them to do what we want to do and find out what they want to do and get with them and then go. And we won't have to have battering rams, and we won't have to have catapults, and we won't have to have moving towers. All we'll have to do is be obedient and the wall will fall, and we can go in and take it. Malachi, you've heard this one hundreds of times. If you've heard it once, you've heard this one 100 times. Bring ye all the tithe into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of... Everybody say that. Thereby saith the Lord of hosts. Now what is he saying? He's saying, if you'll bring your tithe and your offering, I will be to you the Lord of hosts. And some of us wonder why our situations, why our homes, why our children, why our families are in such disarray, why the devil comes, because you ain't got nothing to fight with. You're trying to do it in your own strength, and you're restricting the Lord of hosts. There are angels of God that wants to work for you. And he's saying, as the Lord of hosts, I will rebuke the devourer for your sake, and I'll open up the windows of heaven. There's devils that want to shut up the windows of heaven for you. Do you understand that? And he says, but as the Lord of hosts, I'll open them up. Folks, I'm telling you, this is obedience. And we wonder why our lives are so messed up sometimes. But of all the people and all the scriptures that I found this week, and 481 of them I looked at, nobody had more revelation of it than did David. David had as good a revelation about the Lord of hosts as anybody. And it was through his life that I want to emulate. It's through him and what he said that I want to devise and understand and grasp. You see, it was during David's reign that the nation of Israel expanded to their furthest borders. It was when David was king that the land was conquered. It was during the time of King David that the enemies were subdued during David's reign. I want to show you a scripture in just a second that said that, David's army was like the host of the Lord. I want our army to be like the host of the Lord. Not in number, but in that they worship Him. 10,000 times 10,000 times thousands and thousands. And what are they doing? Worshiping Him. And they worship Him, and they go to war, and they understand the relationship and the purpose of worship. 2 Samuel 7 and 8, this is the prophet speaking to David. Now therefore, so shalt thou say unto my servant David, thus saith the Lord of hosts. The Lord of who? The Lord of Tisabah, the Lord of hosts. I took thee from the sheepcote, from following the sheep, to be ruler over my people, over Israel. And I was with thee whithersoever thou wentest, and have cut off all thine enemies out of thy sight, and have made thee a great name, like unto the name of the great men that are in the earth. Who took David? The Lord of hosts. Who was it that the Bible says had a heart after God? David. Taken by the Lord of hosts. Protected by the Lord of hosts. Made king by the Lord of hosts. 1 Chronicles 11:9. So David waxed greater and greater. For, and that word there means because, the Lord of hosts was with him. Who was with him? The Lord of hosts. David's army was like that. 1 Chronicles 12:22. For at that time, day by day, there came to David to help him until it was a great host, like the host of God. Now there was a number there. But I like that word like in more descriptions than just numerically. I think we've got to be like the angels of God. We've got to worship. We've got to go forth in a relationship with Jesus Christ. We've got to praise Him. We've got to magnify Him. And then in 1 Samuel 17, go ahead and turn there. And this is where I want to finish up at today. 1 Samuel 17 is talking here about Goliath. Now, Goliath is more than a good Bible study and a little sweet Bible story that we tell our children. Folks, I'm telling you that this was life or death. Somebody was going to die. This was war. Do you realize that the demons of hell want to kill us? They do not want this church to succeed. They do not want anything that can get out of religiosities of men and doctrines of devils to come forth. They don't want anybody messing with their domain. And the devils want us to fail. They want to kill us. Listen, I don't know how you're thinking about this, but one of us are going to die. It's him or us. And as far as I'm concerned, listen to me, as far as I'm concerned, the Jordan is closed. I'm not going back to that. I want circumcision. I want my heart continually opened and tender to the things of God. And I want communion. But I want to eat the corn of the land. I want to plunder the devil. And it's more than a sweet little Bible story. Now, you see that piece of black tape up there? That's 9.5 feet. That's how tall Goliath was at his shortest point. I mean, that's the Bibles that I've read, the scriptures that I've read, that's just, most of them say he's about 11 feet. I'm 5'10". He's a little taller than I. And I was probably about as tall as David. Now, that sucker wants to kill me. Now, you read there in chapter 1 and of 17, verse 1, 2, 3, 4, right in there. And it starts telling you about this guy. He was so big, he wore a helmet of brass. His shoes were brass. It says that his spear was like a weaver's rod, which means it was long. It was long, and he had brass things over his loins, and I mean, this guy was big, and he probably weighed 500 pounds, and here's David. Now, this is another one of those things that just doesn't make sense. And you know the story. David comes, and Jesse sent him, his daddy, sends him with some cheesecakes and some stuff and some for his brothers, and he comes, and there's this guy out there mouthing off, And defying the army of God. Now let me tell you, folks, I believe I have been defied, and I believe the armies of God in this city have been defied. I believe Goliath is standing there mouthing off at us. That makes me mad.
And he mouths off by the name of his God. And there he is. And David doesn't like that. Because the Lord of hosts is with him. And so David, you know the story, you know, I'll go fight him. I've got the bear and the lion. And Saul tries to put his armor on him and nothing works. And so David says, I'm going to go. I'm going to fight this guy. So nobody else would do it, so he went. How many knows that nobody else in this city is going to go, folks? Listen, listen, listen to me. We're going to go. I don't believe, I believe that God has given us this, I believe that that's why we're here. I believe that it's our place to go. It's not that they won't, they just don't know. They don't believe in devils. They don't believe in angels. Not like we do. Verse 40. And he, David, took his stick in his hand and chose for himself 5 smooth stones from the brook and put them in the shepherd's bag. And we could do a whole lot of things. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. And, you know, I could do a whole lot of things. See, I don't want to do that. I just want to bring to you this point that God is showing to us. And he put them into a shepherd's bag, which he had, the church, which he had even in his pouch and his sling was in his hand. And he approached the Philistine. He approached the Philistine. Now, did the gates of hell come against him, or did he come against the gates of hell? He approached the Philistine. Listen, as long as we stay in our little church here, in our pretty little white walls and little squares on them, and little banners, and lights, and doing our mimes, he'll leave us alone. But if we approach this Philistine, he ain't going to like it. And it's going to be him or us. He approached the Philistine. Then the Philistine came and approached David, his shield bearer in front of him. When the Philistine looked and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth and ruddy, a handsome appearance. That's us. And the Philistine said to David, am I a dog? Did you come with me with sticks? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. Cursed David by his gods. Witchcraft, folks. The Philistine also said to David, come to me, and I'll give your flesh to the birds of the sky and the beasts of the field. Now, that makes sense. I mean, you got this 9.5-foot guy, little 5-foot guy. That kind of makes sense, doesn't it? Guy's got a helmet on of brass and feet shod with brass and spears and this big old sword. And David said to the Philistine, you come to me with the sword and the spear and a javelin, but I come to you. Now, it looks like I got sticks. And it looks like I got this little pouch with 5 rocks in it. And it looks like I got this string. But what am I really coming to you with? The name of the Lord of hosts. Talk to me now. Who's he coming with? What does that mean? Who's with David? How many angels? How about 1 trillion of them? Will I do it? Listen, devil. You're coming at me with all your witchcraft. You're coming at me with all this junk. I'm coming at you in the name of the Lord of hosts. Yeah. Hallelujah. The battle's not ours, folks. It is the Lord's. And what we've got to understand is we've got to ally with Him. We've got to learn to fall on our face and say, oh God, tell me how to do it. I'm coming to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have taunted. Now, for years since I've been here, that thing's taunted us. This day, the Lord will deliver you into my hands. Now, listen to what he says. This is so good. This day, the Lord's going to deliver you into my hands, and I will strike you down and remove your head, big boy. You coming down. And he says, you think you're going to do it to me? Uh-uh. I got the Lord of hosts. And I will strike you down and remove your head from you. And I'll give your dead bodies of the army. Now listen, look at this. Now not only am I going to take you out, big boy, I am also going to take out the whole army. He's a little bragging, little rascal, isn't he? Devil, listen! And I will give your dead bodies to the army of Philistines in the day of the birds of the sky and the wild beasts of the earth, that are all the earth may know that there is a God in Lafayette. Amen. Come on now. There is a God here. And that all this assembly may know that the Lord does not deliver by sword or by spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. Now, what does King James say right there? What does it say right there? No, it doesn't. What's King James say right there? The next verse, verse 48. And it came to pass. NASB Bible says, then it happened. I like, then it happened. Then it happened. When the Philistine rose and came and drew near to meet David, that David ran quickly toward the battle line to meet the Philistine. And we were up here praying this morning, and of course I knew what I was going to preach. And we was up here praying, and I said, Lord, we want to run to the battle line. We're tired of waiting for him to come to us. Lord, let's run to the battle line. How many are ready to run to the battle line? Let's go to the battle line. Let's stop waiting for hell to come to us, folks. It's out there. To the battle line. David ran to the battle line. And David put his hand in his bag and took out a stone and slung it and struck the Philistine on his forehead. And the stone sank into his forehead so that he fell on his face to the ground. Now listen. You got to see it. You know, here's this guy. He runs up here and he grabs a stone and it pops him between the eyes like a 30-30 rifle. Boom! And what does this guy do? He collapses. Falls. And David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone, and he struck the Philistine and killed him, struck the Philistine again. But there was no sword in David's hand. Now David had done sworn. He said, I'm going to take your head off. But David didn't have a sword. Then David ran and stood over the Philistine and took the Philistine sword and drew it out of its sheath and killed him and cut off his head with it. Now listen, this is a good little Bible story. But how many, there was hair, teeth, and eyeballs and blood going everywhere. He cut the guy's head off and held it up. Now this thing was still bleeding. And the men of Israel and Judah rose and shouted and pursued the Philistines as far as the entrance of the valley and the gates of Ekron. And the slain Philistines lay along the way of that place and even Gath and Ekron. And the sons of Israel returned from chasing the Philistines and plundered their camps. What'd they do? Come on! This is the principle. There is always a plundering. I want to plunder the devil's camp. I want the millions of dollars that is held up. I want to take the battle array that they've got, and I want to take it and put it in my tent. And then David took the Philistine's head and brought it to Jerusalem, but he put his weapons in his own tent. Now, you got to see it. Now, this guy is 9.5 feet, 10 feet tall, and he pops him with that rock, and he falls down, and David runs over there, and he drags out this little bitty sword. And what does he do? I mean, see this. This is just a Bible. I mean, he stood on top of this big old guy and he whacks his head off. And then he takes his sword and his armor and he takes it and puts it in his tent. He plunders it. And he takes his head and he takes it back to camp with him. And says, look what I got. And he did it in the name of the Lord of hosts. He didn't do it by himself. Those walls of Jericho did not fall down by themselves. They fall because of the Lord of hosts. Goliath didn't fall down because of that little rock. He went down because of the Lord of hosts. The virgin didn't conceive because Isaiah said it. She conceived because of the Lord of hosts. And the Lord is a warrior. The Lord of hosts is His name. Now listen, I got one more verse and then we'll quit and I'll let you go. Gone a little long, I know. But I want you to look at one verse with me. In Isaiah 47:4. Look there and then we'll quit. In Isaiah 47:4, we have this mamby-pamby little idea about redemption. Let's read 47:4. Our Redeemer, I'll wait till I hear pages. Wait, let's stop here now. Our Redeemer, what's His name? The Lord of hosts is His name, the Holy One of Israel. Listen, folks, we are redeemed through warfare. We are redeemed by the Lord of hosts. There are a bunch of people out there that need redemption. And we've got this little mamby-pamby idea of what salvation. To most Christians, salvation is when we die, we go to heaven. Listen, it's much more than that. Salvation is an abundant life right now. That's what Jesus came to give us was what? Abundant life. Now. He wants to give it to us now. Redemption is by the Lord of hosts. And there's a lot of people out there, folks, that need redemption. They need people to war for them. They need somebody to bring forth the armies of God
The Lord of hosts needs somebody to stand up and say, we'll go. Here I am. I can't wear Saul's armor. It don't fit. But I'll go in the name of the Lord of hosts. How many ready? There's angels, folks. That's the message. Jericho's not going to fall. Lafayette's not going to fall. Tryon's not going to fall. Nothing's going to happen until we understand that there's an angelic force that wants to go to war. But he's not going with us. We're going with them. You got it? Stand. Lord God, let us do like Joshua did. Let us fall on our face and worship you. Let us totally ally with you. Let us receive instructions from the Lord God. Let us know, Lord God, that this area can be taken and we can plunder it. We can plunder the Philistines. We can take it, Lord. Now, Lord, we submit ourselves to you and we bow to you. Let us come forth into your host. Lead us, Lord God. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Before you leave, this dinner, we need to start praying about Lord showing us exactly how to do this. I went over there this morning, over to Reading Circle, about before daylight, and I was riding around. I was really wanting to see the Lord of hosts. I wanted him to appear. I want him to come. We've got a plan, but I want to know his plan. Can you hear me? And I really do. I want the angels of God to go with us. I want to ally with them because we'll just be going over there, going through the motions, doing something, but I don't want to go through the motions. I want the Lord of hosts to be there. Will you help me pray for that? Will you help me? God bless you.